One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, haunted Bobby Mackey's music world. It's known as one of the most haunted nightclubs in America. Rumors say that haunted Bobby Mackey's music world was once a slaughterhouse in the early 19th century. Later records show it being a roadhouse, took names such as the Brisbane and others. Today, it is the music venue owned and operated by country singer Bobby Mackey. Some legends claim the property holds a portal to the other side. Some say the side it points to is down, meaning hell, almost a gateway of sorts to the underworld. Rumors fly abound that the ghost of a man found dead in a field mere miles from the front door haunts Bobby Mackey's music world. They claim that a murder took place at the hands of Satanists who cursed the location and everyone involved in prosecuting that case. Further stories of turmoil and turbulence include that of a pregnant dancer named Johanna. It's rumored that she committed suicide in the 1950s after her father murdered her lover and father to her unborn child in the dressing room of what is now Bobby Mackey's music world. What is the history of these stories? What haunts Bobby Mackey's music world today? On this episode of The Grave Talks, we talk with Laura, one of the paranormal investigators who hosts tours through Bobby Mackey's to this day.
Well, as far as the structure that would have sat on the Mackey property, that goes back to around 1875. They built a distillery there on the property. And it was very large. They had warehouses on both sides of Licking Pike, which is the road that runs in front of Mackey. So it was a very large operation. And that's the first structure that was built on the property. A lot of people talk about slaughterhouses and that Mackey's was built on top of a slaughterhouse. Back in the late 1800s, that area was called Finchtown, and they did actually have several slaughterhouses. In fact, they had about four or five of them. Whether one sat exactly where Mackey's is, we don't really know for sure. The first documented building that we know that sat there was the distillery that was built in 1875. The distillery was built in 1876, and they are actually the ones dug the tunnels. There's actually three tunnels that go from the building down to the Licking River. And it was the distillery that dug those tunnels, and they were using it to pull water up from the river to make whiskey. And from what I understand, they were pulling about 250,000 gallons of water every day to make whiskey. And in fact, they were the largest distributor of Kentucky whiskey for over 40 years.
Okay. How did things progress after that?
Well, the distillery was there, like I said, around 40 years. Once Prohibition came around, then of course the distillery was shut down. They had had several fires there. No one died in the fires, though. But they did have several fires, and once Prohibition hit, they shut it down and tore most of the buildings down, except for a small building that eventually became Bobby Mackey's.
How long of a span, and what was the life of the building between this building that was left standing? What was going on there after the distillery, all the way up to the time Bobby Mackey's came into existence?
Well, it actually has a very long history. After the distillery shut down, a guy named John Pop bought the property, and he took that remaining building and he turned it into a cafe that he called the Bluegrass Inn. And the cafe was actually on the main level, and then he and his family lived on the lower level of the building. And in fact, they lived right over top of the well, what people refer to now as the portal to hell. They lived right on top of that. Maybe not even knowing it was there, I don't know, but they did have a floor over it. He operated the Bluegrass Inn for several years, I'd say maybe 5 years, and he, again, had some fires in the building. He had been robbed several times, and I think he eventually just got tired of it and sold it to a guy named Buck Brady. Buck is the one that added all of the rest of the building on. He bought the small building and added on a huge ballroom and a casino and named it the Primrose Country Club. And that opened in 1943. So in 1943, he opened it as the Primrose Country Club, and he operated it for several years. But I'm not sure if you're aware of the mob history in Newport. It's quite extensive, and it's probably still going on today. But the Newport area was controlled by the Cleveland Syndicate. They ran a lot of clubs and casinos in Newport. Now, Wilder is a couple of miles outside of Newport, but still very close. And they didn't like having that sort of competition by someone who wasn't part of their crime family. So they eventually managed to run Buck out of town and took over the building, renamed it the Latin Quarter, and they kept that going even past Las Vegas. Once Las Vegas boomed, a lot of the clubs in Newport started getting a little seedy, going downhill, because all of the gambling moved out to Las Vegas. So at that point, they kind of stopped with the casinos and they switched to bingo games, and they ran bingo games through the 60s, early 70s, until they finally closed it down completely. After that, it had a couple of small businesses come in. Most notably was called the Hard Rock. It was kind of a biker bar, and now we're up to like the mid-1970s with that. And that was a very rough bar. And if you talk about people that would have died on the property, there were a couple of people who were shot in the parking lot during the Hard Rock days. And of course, even going back a little further to the mob owning the building in the Latin Quarter, we're guessing, we don't know for sure because they did not keep those types of records of who they killed, but we're guessing there were probably some people killed in the basement. There are bullet holes in the door down in the basement. So it's a good bet that there were some people killed in the basement down there. But then Bobby purchased it in 1978, and he's been there ever since.
Let's talk about why would Bobby decide to purchase this building with such a storied history, to put it lightly, of violence, of death, of mob involvement? What was his thought process in buying this structure? What was going through his mind?
Well, you know, honestly, I really don't think he knew about a lot of it. He knew that the Latin Quarter was there. He knew what type of place it was, but all he wanted, all he cared about, was having a building where he could sing. He just wanted to play music and sing and entertain people. And that was his whole reasoning for buying that building. he just saw that it was for sale. It was already set up with a nice stage and a big ballroom. And, you know, like I said, he just wanted to play music, and that was all he thought about. He says he doesn't believe in the paranormal and that he's really not experienced anything there. So when people would come to him with these stories of things that they had experienced, he would tell them, you know, just keep that to yourself. Just be quiet, because he didn't want it to get out that the place was haunted, because he thought nobody would come if they thought it was haunted.
Take me back. At what point in the history of this club can you trace back any stories of the paranormal? Does it begin when Bobby Mackey had taken it over, or are there any stories previous where people had accounts of anything happening when it was the Latin Club or anything previous to that?
I mean, I have never heard, of course, that was way before my time, mm-hmm. but I've never heard, and because I've never met anybody, you're talking, you know, in the 50s and 60s or even the 40s, yeah. I've never met anyone that has told me that they experienced or even heard of any experiences there. Mm-hmm. I think most of it started with Carl Lawson, who was the caretaker maintenance man that Bobby hired when he bought the club in 1978. I think most of the stories originated with Carl. For some reason, maybe the spirits were drawn to him for some reason, but plus he lived there. He actually lived in the building for 13 years. So him being there basically 24 hours a day, that's when it started.
What were some of the first stories and accounts that Carl spoke of?
Well, Carl, when he was living in the building, he said he used to hear people downstairs constantly. His apartment was upstairs on the second floor, and he said at night when he would try to go to sleep, he would hear what sounded like hundreds of people walking around and talking downstairs. And of course, he'd go down and look, and there wouldn't be anyone there. Which that's a pretty benign experience. But then it started getting worse for him, and he felt like they were trying to possess him, in his words. These evil spirits that lived in the building were trying to possess him. And he eventually had an exorcism performed in the club, I guess it was in the early 90s, to try to rid him of these spirits that he thought were trying to take over his body.
I never like to discount any sort of experience that anyone has, but I always want to ask the questions that may pertain to what's going on and what could possibly be an answer. Did anyone else at the time experience any of these things? Was it just Carl? Had he seeked out or any sort of medical advice or anything to see if there was anything else maybe going on with him that could have possibly been attributing to these experiences?
Right. I know where you're going with that, and I have to agree. I think Carl, I don't know that he ever sought actual medical help or psychiatric help, but I do think that he had his own demons, basically. Okay. And Bobby's even kind of said that Carl was different every time you talked to him. Like, you never knew exactly who you were going to be talking to when you ran into Carl. So I think there's a little bit of that going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that he's lying or that he's making anything up. That's, you know, just my impression from the things that I've heard about Carl. But Bobby's first wife, Janet, when he bought the club, she became friends with Carl, and she had some experiences in the club as well. She claimed that she turned on water in the sink because there used to be a kitchen. This was left over from the Latin Quarter. There was an old kitchen off to the side, and she was in there cleaning up, and she claimed that she turned on the water in the sink and that blood came out of the sink. That's a little fantastic for me. I'm not sure, but I mean, that was her story, and that's what she said. She also claimed that she was climbing a ladder while cleaning, and something tried to pull the ladder out from under her while she was on it.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars. It will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.